In the name of Jesus, amen. What would Jesus do? I'm not reading the question off of my bracelet or the $20 t-shirt under my alb, although I may well be self-centered enough to know that the question is really all about me and not at all about Jesus. And I'm certainly arrogant enough to think that my answers might actually amount to something, but they wouldn't. In more sober moments, any hypothetical question like that that demands a response from me on the level of Jesus is more than a little terrifying. We don't know all the secrets of other people's sins, but we know enough about our own that there is something in us that shies away from God and from each other. I don't always hate God, but neither do I always love or trust him or you. My love does not keep the law. So let's scrap that line of questioning and put the t-shirt in the rag pile, but salvage, redirect the question with a more useful emphasis. What would Jesus, and I mean Jesus, do here with Satan's latest temptation? The temptation to be king without the blood, to put aside the cross. Go up to Jerusalem, yes, by all means, Jesus, but no betrayal, no suffering many things, no mocking and flogging, and no crucifying. Jesus, enter Jerusalem, go ahead, the place of all your enemies, all the people opposed to God. Go up to your own city like a triumphant king, but then just be a regular old king. Besides, a crowd cheering on a parade like this is always more fun. And so wouldn't it be nice if the story stopped here with the triumphal entry? But then no sacrifice, no atonement, no blood in the chalice, no forgiveness ever. Then this little Christian religion of ours would be more reasonable and palatable, more attractive to your friends on Friendship Sunday, but worthless. When you draw near to Jerusalem, you always go up. Abraham must go up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son, his only son, the father who lays his son on top of the wood, on top of an altar. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. God himself provides a lamb for this burnt offering. He provides the once for all sacrifice. Now it's his son. Jerusalem is that place, after all, Mount Moriah, where God provides everything. But Jerusalem is also the place where David too goes up to do combat and to conquer, to take the city from God's enemies. And now David's son and David's Lord is being led up on his father's mule so that you can recognize your king when your king comes to you. God the Father has loaded up this beast, a borrowed donkey, a poor man's animal, with his beloved son, a son of Abraham, to go up to Jerusalem to conquer it as the son of David. We should have seen this coming. After all, St. Matthew calls his gospel the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. From kings is this one, Jesus, who is so unkingly in the company he's keeping. He who is in the very form God, making himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant, up to Jerusalem with nothing and no one to depend on but God. Up to Jerusalem for the blood sacrifice, his gaze not diverted by Satan's latest temptation. For here is his purpose, the sacrifice on the crucifixion altar that makes your every enemy, even your death, surrender to him. There is always more going on than you can see when you go up to Jerusalem, like your salvation. nearer to you now than when you first believed. Take, eat, take, drink, that near, on the mountain of the Lord near. Come unto me, for I am gentle and meek in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. From God on a donkey, God on the altar, God in the cup, gentle and meek. How your king comes as he comes to you, ruling not with a new law and the same old misery, but with his "I don't hold your sins against you" absolution, and with his "shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, body and blood." Here is rest for your souls. Now you go up to the place of God's Christ, where your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, to feed you. We'll sing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He came, he comes, and he will come. Always the God-man, always coming to save you, since Jesus has never left his church. So what does Jesus do? He drags our eyes off of our fascinating belly buttons and up to the altar. Luther writes here that Jesus is a peculiar king. You do not seek him, but he seeks you. You do not find him, but he finds you. For the preachers come from him, not from you. Their sermons come from him, not from you. Your faith comes from him, not from you. Everything that faith works in you comes from him, not from you. So this faith from him says, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Not a cry of praise, but a prayer for deliverance by those who need deliverance. Hosanna, save me now, forgive me now. What would Jesus do? Never hypothetically, but really. He'd be condemned and beaten for sins you think no one knows about. He'd stand toe-to-toe with the old serpent and fight to the death over you and serve you the chalice with all of his life in it from his altar. Your salvation is near, right here. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.